Hi, so my name is Jerry Thaku from the Office of Oral Health, Maryland Department of Health and Mental Hygiene. Today I'm going to be talking about our project. We also received about $40,000 from APHA to evaluate an act that was passed in Maryland in 2008. And I just want to say I have no relationships to disclose. So a little background on the act. This act was passed in the wake of a young African-American child dying out of a tooth infection. And the purpose of the bill, it allows dental hygienists working in public health settings to perform all duties within their scope of practice without having a dentist having to see these patients first. And the idea was that with them not having to go through the dentist, they can see more patients and increase access to care, as well as the dentist would also benefit from having the hygienist perform these duties, and then they could do more restorative work to patients. So there was the thought that Maryland was experiencing a shortage of dentists who could see children. And again, it's hoped that, and we hope to see, that access to care has improved as a result of this bill. So a little bit about the process that we went through. We decided to bring in an independent evaluator consultant to do this project. And once we hired her, she immediately wrote an evaluation plan, and we assembled an advisory committee to review the evaluation plan and to provide guidance and just to have someone else give us input in case we were missing anything. And one thing that I'd like to mention is we had completely not thought about going through the IRB review board, which is required in Maryland, and one of the advisory committee members brought that up. And so that we had to wait a month for that process to go through. So had we thought about that, which was a good thing to have the advisory committee, had we thought about that before, we would not have had the delay because we would have started the process right away. Our consultant worked with us to develop a logic model, and what she did was she took the bill, the act itself, and all the drafts that had been written, and she interviewed our director and other stakeholders in the state, and came up with this logic model, which shows what the inputs of the bills were. For example, the Office of Oral Health, University of Maryland, all those people who are involved in the writing of the act, and then all the things that they had to do to get it written, the output, which was the agencies that utilized these public health hygienists, schools and WIC centers and programs, and then what the outcomes that were expected, which was and she kind of broke this down: youth and adults, dentists, dental hygienists. What the outcomes would be out of the passing of this act. For example, with hygienists, we thought in the short term there'll be an increase of feeling of value because now they're doing more than they were doing, and then in long term there'll be increase of hygienists working in public health settings. And then there was also going to be dentists will be increased in the dental public health workforce. So of course, with the outcomes, we also had to think about, when we were thinking about the change, we also had to look at the environment and other things that were happening in Maryland. For example, we have an oral health literacy campaign, which could also increase access and awareness. We also had other grants that had gone out to different health departments, and that means the impact may not also be just from this bill. So we're trying to see exactly what impact this bill has had. So So for the methodology for the evaluation, so this evaluation is assessing the impact that the law has had in Maryland in achieving its original goals to increase oral health prevention and education services to low-income services. So she's collecting, we are collecting qualitative data using reports to measure access to care. These reports are internal public health data. We have a case management pilot study in Eastern Shore, and we're going to look at those reports to see, because that project is utilizing public health dental hygienists. So we want to see the impact that has brought. We are also looking at WIC data from WIC programs to see if there's been a change. And then, of course, we're utilizing the Office of Oral Health various reports that we have, and the Medicaid annual oral health legislative report. And then qualitatively, our evaluator is conducting on-site interviews, in-person and telephone interviews. She's already actually begun doing that in the past few weeks. So these are kind of the things that we were looking to see. Did this act increase access? Did it increase the number of dental hygienists working in public health settings? Did it increase referrals to a dental home? Did it provide dentists with more time to perform restorative care? So, you know, our office has passed numerous bills, but none of them have ever gone under an evaluation. This is the first time we're evaluating a legislation. And then enough time has passed since the bill was passed that there was enough pre and post data for us to see a change. And then considering this bill, the number one thing we wanted to know was, is it working? If so, who does it impact the most? And so we hope that these questions are just a sample of we've developed a whole set of tools to evaluate the program. So in thinking about challenges so far, we had a difficulty distinguishing what were the most reasonable effects that could be linked to this bill. Like I said, there are so many other things going on in Maryland. We needed to really hone down to what this particular act, what changes it's brought. There was also another legislation that passed, which was also affecting the hygienists, but this one allows them to work in long-term care facilities, but it's different in that they need to have a dentist when they do that. But then it's the same population that we are interviewing, so there's a little bit, we have to really narrow down who is doing what in public health settings, which is like schools and WIC centers, and who is doing what in long-term care, or maybe they're doing both. So we need to find that out. So these both pass around a similar time. We also had a challenge when we were assembling the advisory committee. We found that we were going to the same people we may need to interview. So we had to really try and narrow down, and so we don't have biases. We have an advisory that's independent, and then we go to different people. So that was a little bit of a challenge, because we're kind of the same population we were targeting. And then, you know, the dental hygiene community is relatively small right now in Maryland. Another thing we've noticed is there's really no formal designation of a public health dental hygienist. This is like a term we've come up with. It's not that they've gone to any specific training to make them that, but they become that when they work in public health facilities, because they are going into the public health facilities. So there is no record or any certification, so information then will have to come from administrators to tell us who is working there, and then the hygienist themselves kind of self-reporting that they're doing that. And then we, like I said earlier, had not considered IRB, and that set us back about a month. So outcomes to date, we really looked at this bill in detail, and so we've had a more understanding of the legislation. We looked at it closely, and we now know of its potential opportunities as well as its limitations. And then this process has allowed us to create a diverse partnership. When we did the advisory committee, we've been able to involve more people. We've also created valid instruments to be used for interviewing. And lastly, our office has become more informed on the IRB process. We know now that we need to think about that right from the beginning if we're doing any kind of evaluation. So lessons learned. One thing we've learned is that stakeholders of the project may not have the same definition of everyday terms. So we have established internal definitions to aid during the survey process so that there's consistency. We need to be sensitive to varying terms and used in clinical settings to ensure we gain an accurate understanding of the sample's experience and beliefs. We also found that there was no documentation of the process, or of the process when the act was written. We had to interview stakeholders who are involved in that process, and so if there had been something like the logic model that could show exactly what the thought was and what they wanted to do. So next steps, like I said, our evaluator is conducting interviews, and right now she had confirmed with 13 public health administrators. She also had one representative from an oral health organization, 7 hygienists, and 2 dentists. But all that was supposed to happen this week. Now with the storm, I don't know if she may have to make some adjustments because most of the offices have closed. And I think that's it. Mine was brief.